seventh word. The seventh word of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak to our situations. Speak to our circumstances. Have your way, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated, please. The seventh word of Christ, as we have seen from the passage just read, in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 23, at verse 46. It's a word between the Lord Jesus, God the Son, and his Father. Jesus said, addressing God the Father, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." It was a very momentous moment. You know it by what happened after he made that statement. After he made that statement, he surrendered his spirit. He gave up the ghost. He died. After making that statement, he ended his earthly life. He died. Praise the Lord. This is the last address for today's service. I'll try to do a bit of summary to be brief. And one thing I think we should all remember is that this is one of the services that's very touching. In some congregations, yesterday and today, they'll be using drama. And at some point, you find people actually weeping. Hallelujah. We are talking of today, crucifixion of Jesus. So it means that as we are speaking, someone is hanging on a rugged cross. Someone who did nothing. Who committed no offense. Somebody who went about doing good, healing all manner of diseases. And at the end, he was taken to the cross and killed on the cross. He was in pains. And he hung on that tree, that cross, for hours. And then passed away. I want to make certain things clear because here, this church is located within an institution of learning, ASUT, and also within a teaching hospital that is also a center of learning and educational establishment. So I know that many of us are into these studies, reading, research, exposure to all kinds of things. So I want to state very clearly that Jesus died on the cross. And that has a lot of meaning. Praise the Lord. I have in my younger days, as I read all kinds of books, and Christian books, you find some people arguing that Jesus did not die. that he just maybe fainted or had a funny tone, that he did not die. The Bible tells us in the passage we just read that Jesus addressed his father and died. Hallelujah. And that's the truth. We must stick to that. When people begin to tell lies about this matter, they are trying to shake the foundation of the Christian faith. Because if Jesus didn't die, then what are we doing here? Jesus actually died. Can you tell your neighbor he died? Tell the other person he died. Yes, he died. That was the plan of God. Jesus did not leave his glory, his throne, his excellent place of abode in heaven to come here to walk about and go back to heaven. He came to die. That was the reason he came. He came to be a sacrificial lamb. And the sacrificial lamb has to die. If he didn't die, he didn't play his role. If Jesus did not die, he saved nobody. He died. Hallelujah. And when I say this, as I said yesterday too, I feel comforted in knowing that Jesus was not arrested and overpowered and killed on the cross. I always remember, by the grace of God, that Jesus came to die and he came willingly. Nobody forced him. Yes, that's what he was telling Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, I would have got my servants to fight. And that was the truth, and still the truth. When they approached him, as we read this morning, the moment they said they were looking for Jesus in the garden, those of us who read the Anglican Church's reading guide this morning, Jesus said, I am he. I'm the one you are looking for. What happened? They all collapsed. They fell down. Because not for one moment did Jesus lose his power. He was always the perfect God and he was perfect man while he was here on earth. There were times they took stones to throw at him and kill him. He walked away. There were times they wanted to do one thing or the other. The time was not yet for him to die, and he walked away. And some people have tried to argue that that was the problem with Judas Iscariot. I don't advocate or plead for Judas Iscariot. Some people believe that Judas collected money and thought that whenever those people showed up, Jesus would simply walk away as he used to do, and he would pocket his money and go away. I mean, I'm not pleading for Judas. Why would he do that? Hallelujah. The matter of Jesus, of Judas, is matter between Judas and Jesus. Isn't it? If he wasn't handed over to the Jews, Jesus came to die, and he actually died. Hallelujah. I want to emphasize this again. It was important that he would go to that cross. And on that cross, one, he was a lamb. And that's his permanent name. You know, spiritual things are somehow. Even after Jesus has risen from the dead and gone back to heaven, Jesus is still addressed as the lamb. the Lamb that sits on the throne. That became another name. He went there to be the sacrificial lamb. And it was a bit like what God was doing with Abraham. When God said to him, take up your son. That's one, your son. Number two, your only son. Number three, Isaac. Number four, whom you love. Thank God, Abraham passed that test and became the father of faith. Hallelujah. May God help us to obey him to the point where at the end of the day, God is happy with us. And so God also took his son, his only begotten son, Jesus, whom he loved, and said, go and die. That decision was not taken within 2 days. It wasn't taken within 3 days. It was a decision that took centuries. Because it was a problem at some point in my mind. Didn't God know that Adam and Eve will fail? The answer is, he knew. But he's a loving God. Hallelujah. God is omniscient. He knows everything. So from that time, when he was creating the world with Jesus and through Jesus, he knew clearly that man that he has beautifully made, well provided for, well honored, taken care of, will fail and lose communion with him. It was at that foundation that he discussed with his son, Jesus, you will go to the earth and do what? And die. And that's why the Bible says, I've said it before over and over, that Jesus is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Because God said it at the foundation. These people are going to mess up. And my holiness and justice will demand that the soul that sinned will die. And Jesus was commissioned by his Father, God, our Father. You can also say Jesus commissioned himself to come to the earth to die and save us. Hallelujah. So on the cross, he died. Three things are very important. One, you had a lamb. And that lamb was willingness. It wasn't forced. Number two, it was a lamb that was the same as human beings whom he wanted to save. Because the blood of bulls and goats and cows cannot save man. That's the peak of God's creation. No. A human being needed to die to save human beings. I hope we are following. I've mentioned that he was a lamb and he was willing. And number two, he is the same as the person, me, that he wants to save. Number three, and that's the final in this argument, is that if a human being died on the cross and he had a sin, he is paying for his own sin. So his death cannot be of benefit to others. So Jesus went to the cross as the willing lamb, sacrificial lamb, a human being, but he had no sin. kụpụrụnụ Jizọs aka. He had no sin. He even said it to Jews, and you know Jews are very meticulous. Which of you can convict me of sin? He had no sin, even in the eyes of the Jews, except this issue of malicious, you know, mob action. But they were acting in killing him to fulfill the goal of his coming to earth, to fulfill the will of God. So if Jesus did not die, then the sacrifice was not accomplished. You are still in your sin. But the Bible said, after he made those, he said those words to God the Father, he died. Hallelujah. That dying now made the way for resurrection. Hallelujah. Because he died, then when on the first day of the week, Sunday, he rose from the dead, then we have a lot to rejoice for. If he had syncope, if he just fainted, then why are you rejoicing and shouting? But he died. And that's why someone like St. Paul will say, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That power of resurrection set Jesus apart from any other person that walked on this earth as a human being. Because he died and was buried. He was sleeping. But Sunday morning, without anybody going to say, Jesus, come forth, he rose from the dead. Never to go that way again. Hallelujah. I will leave off the message that is supposed to be for Easter. The implications of his rising from the dead. But that's why today is Good Friday. We come sober, remembering what Jesus has done, but we are comforted that he's alive. We are comforted that in dying on the cross, he died and paid our bills, and we are now saved. Hallelujah. That's why it's a Good Friday. Good Friday event, crucifixion, brought salvation. Hallelujah. Oh yes, he brought salvation. It's on it that we are standing. As I was sitting and waiting to come here, it occurred to me that we should also look at the other aspect of what Jesus did. Jesus had been on the earth for about 33 years. He did all kinds of miracles. One of them was when his friend Lazarus died. Hey, nobody has done anything like that before. He's been dead for 4 days. I'm not talking on rigor mortis and all those things doctors and pathologists talk about. Lazarus' sister said his brother would be stinking now. And all that Jesus did was to stand outside that grave. I said, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had been dead, nobody went to help him. He got up with his grave clothes and came out. And then Jesus gave the next instruction. Loose him and let him go. It occurred to me that today, God might also be losing some people and letting them go in the name of Jesus at various levels of losing him and letting him go. Jesus died on the cross and set me free and set you free. There is no power that can subject me to bondage anymore. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. That's the portion of every believer. Yes. You are in business, you are in academics, you are in career, and things are not going wrong. Look unto Jesus. He's the one that will still say, lose him and let him go. Arise and shine. And things will turn around for the better for you. You've been there waiting to get married. A man, you can't find a suitable bride. And that happens a lot. A woman, no one has come to say anything to you. And the devil is suggesting all kinds of things to you. Today you can say, Lord, the end has come. Jesus has died. Yes, I hold on to you. Raise me up unto a new life. I want to step into my married life. God can hear you. In the name of Jesus. You've been married, you don't have any issue. And you want to have fruit of the womb. Step in by faith and say, God, my time has come. Whatever is causing this infertility, now I ask you, give me that fruit of the womb. We are going to have it. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work. Raise me up from this state of deadness, and the Lord will hear you. You can take it to your other levels so that we can round off this message. Hallelujah. And then finally, you're here today. Some of us are coming close to tears, including myself, because of the suffering of Jesus. But Jesus has suffered. He's no longer on the cross. He's in heaven. There is worship going on 24 hours a day, 24/7, around the throne of Jesus. So, there's nothing to weep about. He's been glorified. Hallelujah. You, have you had the experience? Can't you, like Jesus did today, can't you today address God and say, God, I've been trying, oh, I've been trying. You know how you've been trying and you're failing. You're failing in the area of holiness. You can't see yourself as born again. You are afraid to die. You suspect you might end up in hell. Today you can say, as Jesus did, in your own way as a human being, say, God, today, I want to commit my life to you. Give me that new life. Let all the things that have been struggling within the past be gone. Father, a new life. Give it to me. I'm surrendering my life to you. You can do that today. I'm on instruction to speak from Philippians chapter 2. And then I will close. Philippians chapter 2. In that Philippians chapter 2, we see what happened to Jesus and what he will want to happen to us. Philippians chapter 2, I'm there now. And I'll start reading from verse 5. And then we pray. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That verse sometimes is difficult to understand. What he said that Jesus was God. And for him to say that he and his Father are one, is to say that he is God, and it's not robbery. He was stating the fact. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He needed to be like men to save men. God. That's wonderful. Verse 8, And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Everybody say he humbled himself. He humbled himself. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's where we stop reading this passage. In dying on the cross, it was as a result of obedience. Can we say obedience? Please, let's say obedience again. Obedience. It was obedience that brought him to the point of dying on the cross. He made it clear in that garden in Gethsemane. He was praying and sweating blood. What was the issue? God the Father, can we adjust this matter? Let me not go to the cross as a place of mockery. I don't know whether, but you know, Jesus is too much. We don't say if you were Jesus. We can't be Jesus. Jesus is too much. Bearing that mockery is not a small thing. We are a small somebody, thief, vagabond, being crucified by himself, was mocking him, mocking his Savior, mocking his Creator, who had come to save him. And Jesus kept quiet for that sort of people. He knew they would get their own reward. But there was another man who said, shut up. Don't talk to Jesus like that. Monage, we are armed robbers. We are terrible people. We are sinners. But Jesus is sinless. Don't talk like that to him. And then he turned to Jesus and said that saving statement. Said, Lord, when you get to your paradise, remember me. It has also been an issue. How did that man make it to heaven at a minute to 12 midnight? Like somebody has said today, no baptism. No, he didn't take communion. You understand? He didn't sing choruses. He didn't answer altar call in any church. But the man got a visa immediately. But that's what Jesus has been looking for. And we're about to pray. For somebody who wants to say, Lord Jesus, lekwam nabatam. That man, I found out that he met the requirements. Even when some of the disciples were still wondering who Jesus was. When Annas and Caiaphas, people who wear very heavy priestly clothes, were still having difficulty and refusing somebody dying on the cross, saw Jesus and believed. He believed. He believed he was sinless. He believed he was Son of God. He believed he was Savior. He believed he had a kingdom. What else are you looking for? That was faith. At a time when faith was scarce on earth. Because that man telling him, when you get to your kingdom, remember me. He has faith beyond what mother, and he announced it. He said it with his mouth. Lord, when you get to your kingdom, remember me. What else do you want? He has announced that he was a sinner. That was remorse, isn't it? He had felt he wasn't like Jesus. He had shown repentance and remorse. And he had called Jesus Lord, believed in him, and said, Bikonna, Iruna lezege, mereme brechetam. And that was it. Jesus said, don't say any other thing. You have been forgiven. Today, you are entering paradise with me. Hallelujah. Let us stand to pray. As we are standing to pray, please, just this one moment, where you are, even if you are a pastor like me, and it's touching your heart to say, Jesus, today, take over. You handed over to God the Father. Today I'm praying, I'm pleading. I'm unworthy, but please take over me. If you want to do that, just where you are, you're not coming out anywhere. You raise your hand and we pray. There is grace here, there is mercy, and Jesus is here. All of us that are raising our hands, because I can't see you all, whether adults or children or teens, please, can you pray where you are? Put your hands down. Not even interested in knowing who you are. Just begin to pray where you are. Say, God, please forgive my sins. God, forgive my sins. Congregation can be praying for them too. I'm praying for ourselves. That's why I said, let us stand up so that all of us are at prayer. But if you can't stand, you can still sit and be praying. Ask God to forgive your sins. Ask Jesus to become your Lord and Savior. Tell him that you know he is Savior, that he died on the cross for you. Ask him to come into your heart and give you new life and become your Lord and Savior. It doesn't take 1 hour prayer. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for us. Thank you, our dear Lord. Some of us have raised our hands today. They need you. We all need you. Father, meet them at their own points of need and save each one. And give them a new life. And write their names in the book of life. Cancel their names in the book of death. Let all things become new. Even the children, Lord, empower them to begin to live for you as your children and never to go back. In the name of Jesus, we are praying. Amen. Father God, all of us, we thank you. And as we round off this message, help us, Lord, to keep appreciating you, knowing that obedience and humility brought Jesus to the cross. Father, help us to love you and obey you to the end. Let your blessings be multiplied to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are praying. Amen.
It is then thy new creation, your hands spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, filling heaven with ever blessed. Christ is the lost in front the Lord and praise.